John chapter number 4 and verse number 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore saith the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use the scriptures, dear God, that we've read, and then the message that will follow. As we open up these truths, as we watch our Savior, as we learn once again from him, I pray, Lord, that you'll prepare us for tomorrow and the next day and the rest of this week. Help us, Lord, to look at this world and see it the way that you see it. May we be more like Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. And you may be seated. During the month of February, we enjoy having our missionaries come, our missionary guests, and they come and they preach and they challenge us most Sunday mornings, usually on Sunday mornings. And then I try to take the rest of the month, especially Sunday nights, and focus on this matter of missions. During the month of February, Lord willing, I'll preach a 4-sermon series on the making of a missionary. Last Sunday night, we preached on the feet of a missionary. Tonight, I want to preach on the eyes of a missionary. Next week, we'll preach on the heart of a missionary. And then last message will be on the hands of a missionary. As I said last week, I'm going to preach them in that order because in order to become a missionary, it has to start with your feet. The first step is to go. Why is that? Because you'll never see what you need to see until you go. You'll never feel what you need to feel until you see. And you'll never do what you need to do till you feel. Yes, the Bible order, let me remind you again, is feet, eyes, heart, and hands. Because the Bible order is go, see, feel, and then do something. To become a missionary, it begins with the feet, because the first step to becoming anything for God, all that he wants you to be, is this matter of obedience. And once you become obedient with your feet, tonight we're going to focus on this idea. As you become obedient with your feet, you will begin to see what you should see with your eyes. And I would encourage you this week to pray this prayer. Lord, help me to see the world as you see it. So what did Jesus see in this story? Preacher, what's the difference between the eyes of the average Christian and what they see and the eyes of someone who realizes that they are a missionary? And as I mentioned last week, this message is not directed to those that have surrendered to go to a foreign field. This message is directed to each and every one of us here, because every single one of us is called in this matter of sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Christian is to be a missionary. So I love this story because I love what Jesus said there when he said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. In this story, Jesus saw some things that the disciples that he was training was not yet spiritually mature enough to see. And they were in the process of becoming, as all of us have to go through that growth stage. But at this point, he was seeing differently than they were. He was seeing with the eyes of a missionary, and they were seeing with the eyes of disciples in the process of being trained. Preacher, what did Jesus see this day that they missed? Let me talk about the eyes. Number one, Jesus saw a person that was lost and on her way to hell. You say, well, preacher, that's elementary. No, not every Christian sees that when they see people in their day-to-day walk. Jesus saw a person that was lost and on her way to hell. I believe his disciples were still blinded, maybe blinded by immaturity, maybe blinded a little bit by carnality. I think the disciples in this case may have been blinded by their prejudice. You see, they were blinded by prejudice, but Jesus was not. John 4:7, in this same chapter, if you look at verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Look at verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. This woman was a Samaritan. These disciples were Jews. You see, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. In the mind of a Jewish person, the Samaritans were beneath them, less than them, a people to be avoided, a people to be scorned, a people at best to be ignored. But Jesus did not, now listen to me, folks, Jesus did not see this woman's nationality. He saw her spiritual need. He did not see the color of her skin, but he saw the condition of her heart. He did not see someone to be avoided, but instead he seen someone to engage in conversation and try to bring to himself. When Jesus looked at her, he saw a never dying, ever living soul that was in need of a drink of living water. Folks, we need to begin to see people the way Jesus saw them. His disciples were not blinded by prejudice, or his disciples were blinded by prejudice, but Jesus was not. His disciples, I think, failed in this matter of seeing her as a lost and dying soul on her way to hell because I think they were blinded somewhat by their fleshly appetites and their physical weariness. Again, Jesus felt those things also, but that did not stand in the way of him seeing something more important. John 4:8, look back if you will, look at that verse. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. When they arrived in Samaria, the most important thing on the mind of his disciples was this: we're hungry, we're hungry. It's been a long journey. It's dinner time. You know, guys, when they get hungry, they get hungry. When they want food, they want food. Especially teenage young men. Sometimes I forget at my age the importance that food holds in the life of a teenage young man. I had Luke come over and Jonathan come over this past week, and they won a contest that Brother Gordon put on. So the prize was that they get to go to the preacher's house and I get to help them make their first knife. And we worked a good part of the afternoon, and I get out in my shop and I lose track of time, but these boys were not losing track of time. They began to realize it was supper time, and Luke asked me how much longer before we're going to be able to be done, and I said, well, not that much longer. We're going to get to a stopping place here, and what we were in the process of doing was heating up Jonathan's blade in the forge, and then we were getting ready to quench it in vegetable oil. And so we heated this thing up to its red glowing orange, and then we stick it into the oil and it bubbles. And Luke said the funniest thing I think I've ever heard. He looked at me and he said, man, that smell's making me hungry. Now, I've quenched 8 or 10 knives myself. I've stood by and watched probably other guys quench, you know, 10 or 15 other ones. I've never one time saw hot glowing metal stuck into vegetable oil and thought of French fries. I never thought of fried chicken. But all he could smell was, man, that smells pretty good. And I looked at my watch and thought, it's supper time. They're wanting to go because they're hungry. Well, the disciples, when they showed up in Samaria, they were looking for French fries or fried chicken. They weren't worried about some woman standing over here at the well. But let me just say that we can learn from this, because folks, our flesh gets in the way a lot, and our fleshly appetites, if we're not careful, stand sometimes between us and accomplishing God's will for our life. And so, you know what? When they arrived in Samaria, the most important thing on their mind was food. And you know what? They were weary. Jesus was weary. Look at verse 6, same chapter. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. Let me help you with something, folks. It's a wonderful thing in your Christian life when the will of God becomes more important than what your flesh wants. More important than whether you're hungry, or more important than whether you're tired. Come on, Americans need to hear this. One of the great lessons each of us must learn if we're going to consistently carry out the Great Commission is this. Listen, soul winning is accomplished by tired people. Sunday school classes are built by tired people. Buses are filled each week by tired people. Nursing home services are conducted by tired people. We do not obey the Great Commission because we're well rested. We obey it despite the fact that many weeks were well worn. Tired people drove buses at Blessed Hope Baptist Church this morning, and tired people taught Sunday school classes, and tired people went soul winning this week, and tired men preached this morning, and tired people carried out the work of God each and every week at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Listen, church, let me sound the trumpet and warn us. If we ever get to the point at Blessed Hope Baptist Church where we begin to let our flesh decide if we're going to carry out the work of God, then that will be the day when the work of God ceases to be accomplished. It's time American Christians start looking in the mirror and saying no to their flesh. No to their hunger, and no to their weariness, and no to their appetites, and to realize that just as Jesus said, that I have something more important. My meat is to do the will of God. And Jesus was not blinded by prejudice or weariness or hunger. What he saw that day was someone who was on her way to hell and needed to be rescued. And so he set those things aside. Number two, Jesus saw a person whose life had been devastated by sinful choices. We read in verse 15 in the same chapter, if you look back, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now, folks, the discussion has turned from living water now to focus on her sinful condition. See, Jesus was eventually going to explain the concept of living water, but not yet. He's going to tell her about salvation and forgiveness and redemption, but first he had to talk to her about her sin. He had to deal with her sinfulness. Let me give a reminder to all of our soul winners. The plan of salvation cannot be delivered without first confronting a lost person with the responsibility of their own sinfulness. And we understand that. We know that. But we understand that that's just a step taken so that we can tell them good news. The bad news must be delivered before the good news can come. Yes, we're all sinners, and yes, if we all got what we deserved, we'd be in hell alongside that rich man begging for one drop of water. But you know what, folks? There's good news that follows the bad news, and that's that Jesus Christ came to earth to die for lost sinners. But I want you to understand, folks, even though Jesus saw a sinner, and sometimes that's all we see. All we see is a sinner. All we see is their sin. And sometimes we fail to have that heart of compassion to understand that their life has been devastated by these sinful choices. See, her village saw a loose woman, but Jesus saw a hurting soul. Her village saw someone with a bad reputation, but Jesus saw a broken person. Her village saw her as she was. Watch this. But Jesus saw her before she was what she was. And you know what? Don't forget this. The most sinful adult you'll ever see that has the obvious scars of sin in their life, they were once just a little girl. They were just a little toddler. They were just raised like anybody else was. And folks, by the way, can I just say this? And I'm not defending her sin and her sinful choices, but before you go picking up stones, maybe you ought to go back and see and wonder. I wonder what kind of family she was raised in. What kind of circumstances molded her life? And why was it that the devil was so successful at being able to trap her into a cycle of sinful living and bad choices? What I'm saying is Jesus recognized the sin, but it did not put him in the seat of judgment. It moved his heart instead with true compassion, because folks, sin and the choices of sin devastates a life. Here's a woman that has come at a part of the day, the sixth hour of the day. That is not a usual time for women to come and draw water from the well. And I think to myself, why did she wait? Why did she wait for all the other ladies that usually come early in the morning? Why did she wait till later on? Maybe she was tired of the snide remarks. Maybe she was ashamed because of her life's choices. Maybe she got tired of the whispers. She got tired of being treated as being less. And here was someone from a race of people that were notorious for treating them as less. But Jesus did not do that. He looked on her, and he looked on her with compassion. Jesus saw a person whose life had been devastated by sinful choices. When I was being trained up in Bible college in Fisherman's Club, and I was really working hard at trying to learn to be a better soul winner, one of the habits I got into on a Sunday morning, I wasn't in the bus ministry at that time. I was in a soul winning club known as Fisherman's Club, but I would go to the church about an hour before church would start every Sunday morning. And I wasn't on a bus route, and I didn't have Sunday school responsibilities at that time. But what I would do is I'd go to the church, and I'd spend some time praying, and then I would sometimes just walk the blocks around the church just looking for people. On one of those Sunday mornings, I went past a little restaurant. And by the way, the church there in Hammond was in a really bad neighborhood, really not a good part of Hammond. If there is a good part of Hammond, it was not in a good part of Hammond. And a couple of blocks from the church, I was walking and thinking to myself, Lord, you know, maybe I can catch somebody before church and just invite him to come to church and sit with me. Maybe I can come to four churches, just witness to somebody. And I went past a little restaurant, kind of a little hole-in-the-wall cafe, and there was a black man sitting in there at the booth by himself. And I walked in the door, and there was empty booths and empty chairs, and I walked right over to him, and I said, hey, I want to get a quick bite to eat. I hate eating alone. Do you mind if I sit here with you? And he looked at me as if, who in the world are you? And he said, sure. So I sat down across from this man, and folks, listen to me. I'd been up in that area long enough to be able to tell the telltale signs of someone who was battling an addiction to alcohol. And this man had all of the signs that you would see physically of a man that's an alcoholic. And he sat in there with a cup of coffee, and he sat in there with a plate with two eggs and a piece of toast, and I ordered something. And I just began to talk to him about the Lord. His name was Frank. And we talked about this subject and that subject. He said, who are you and where in the world are you from? And I told him about how I was raised. And I said, tell me about your life. By the way, folks, listen to me. Be interested in people. Care about people. You know what? I could have walked through that window, looked in there, and saw, look, watch this. Here's an old drunk black man. Jesus wouldn't have seen an old drunk black man. He'd have seen a soul that was in need of salvation. I'm walking those streets saying, Lord, help me to see. Folks, listen to me. This is something we have to learn. It's not natural to any of us. Lord, help me to begin to see people how you would see them. You see his disciples walk up in that well, and maybe they didn't even see her. Maybe they looked right over the top of her and didn't see her at all. Maybe the ones that did, they dismissed her immediately because they were in Samaria. And listen, the faster we can get out of here, the better off we are. We're in the wrong neighborhood. But you know what? Jesus sat down at that well, and he didn't see that woman the way they saw him. And I got to talking to Frank, and pretty soon I was able to flip my New Testament over in front of him, flip pages, and talk to him about the Lord. And those old rummy eyes, those old red rummy eyes begin to tear up, water spilling out of them. Just a few minutes, he bowed his head and prayed, received Christ as his Savior. And I bought his breakfast. I bought the man's breakfast. And you know what he did to say thank you? He followed me down the street and sat with me in church. Folks, what I'm saying is this. You've got to ask God to help you see people differently. Jesus did not see the way the disciples saw. Jesus did not see the way the village people saw this woman. You know what? He saw a person whose life had been devastated. Yes, Frank's life had been devastated by sinful choices, but that didn't make Jesus love him any less. And this woman's life was devastated by sinful choices, but she was once just a little girl, and I don't know what happened, and I don't know what kind of life she lived. I don't know what got her into this cycle of crazy decisions and wickedness, but she needs rescued. Listen, she needs rescued. So Jesus saw a person whose life had been devastated by sinful choices. Number three, Jesus saw an opportunity that he was not going to miss. An opportunity that he was not going to miss. If you look in verse number 31, in the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? See how focused they are on the temporal. See how focused they are on the physical. They can't even understand what he's saying. They can't even, their minds are blocked to spiritual truth. Verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Look at this next verse. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know what Jesus was saying? I believe the disciples saw that stop in Samaria as just a brief stop along a journey, but Jesus saw it as an opportunity for a divine appointment. His disciples saw just another day. This is just another day, but you know what Jesus saw? Jesus saw that this could be the most important day in this woman's life. His disciples saw something that could be done later. Jesus saw a moment that would never be repeated. That would never be repeated. Our preacher emphasized that this morning. Thank you for doing that. Folks, listen to me. God wants to involve you and me in divine appointments. God knows whose heart he's preparing. And you know what? Sometimes I think God has more success at getting a lost person to the point where they're ready to listen than he has sometimes in getting saved people to that person. And I believe this. I believe God's working in people's hearts all around us. And we never know. We never know. Just by looking at them from the outside, what's going on behind the scenes of their life that has prepped them for this moment. And then God brings us there. And do we see them? Do we even notice them? Do we take the time for them? Yes, our feet have to go, but you can go for a while and still not see. You know what? You got to start praying as you go. Lord, help me to see as you would see. And his disciples, they saw something that could be done later. And I think Jesus sensed that because he said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. He said, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they are white already to harvest. Right now, today, today somebody's ready. Today somebody will listen. Today somebody could be saved. So Jesus saw an opportunity that he was not going to miss. I could stand up here and testify, and I guess most of us could stand alongside the preacher in this, but I look back at my life and I look at what I believe was missed opportunity. Yes, sir. And you know what? It's easy to say, well, the next time I see that person. But sometimes it was an opportunity where I'll never see that person again. And you know what? Sometimes I travel a little bit, and because of that I go places that I may never return to. Right. I can tell you this, I go to airports and I sometimes sit by people that I know, I mean, I will never see them again in my life. And folks, you know what? You don't know what God will do as far as bringing somebody to you. Don't miss those opportunities. Don't put it off. Let me end by saying this. Jesus saw the potential of what this woman could do to reach others for the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't just see her present condition. He saw her future potential. Her village saw her past sins. Jesus saw her future potential. His disciples saw a half-breed. Jesus saw a future missionary. The devil saw her as a hopeless slave. But Jesus saw her as a forever example of God's grace. And I was thinking about this today when I was putting the final notes of my message this afternoon. How many sermons have been preached on the conversion of this woman at the well? We know the story, and we can go to the story and see the impact that she had on the city. The immediate impact that she had on the city. and how she was the voice that walked into that city and invited and encouraged everyone to come out and meet who she had become convinced is the Messiah, and how many people believed because of what she said and came. And then Jesus abode 2 more days, and the words that he spoke brought many more into belief. But folks, listen to me. It wasn't just what she accomplished on that day. Sometimes we just think about that. But you know what? God in heaven said, I'm going to write this story down of what happened to this woman. And I thought to myself, I know I've probably preached, I mean this, I've probably preached 20 times, 20 messages at least in my life on the woman of the well. And you know what? In many of those messages, I've watched people respond receiving Jesus Christ. And I thought, that's one preacher. Can you imagine through the ages of Christian history, since the canon of Scripture was put together, how many preachers have walked up and said, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4, and talked about this woman, and somebody that was sitting out there feeling like, God doesn't love me, that's for other people. I can't. You don't understand what I've done, preacher. You don't understand my life. You don't understand my past. And how many people watched Jesus change this woman's life? And the Holy Spirit said to them, that's for you also. And they broke from a pew and came down an aisle, knelt down, was miraculously saved. Folks, listen to me. Listen to me. Keep your eyes open this week. Yes, sir. Let's all keep our eyes open. Once you become obedient with your feet, you'll begin to see what you should see with your eyes. Could I close by encouraging you to learn to pray this great prayer, this simple prayer, but it is a prayer that has the potential to change your life from now on. Listen to me. It's a simple prayer. As you leave your home tomorrow morning, would you pray this? Jesus, help me. Remember, it starts with the feet. Jesus, help me to walk where you would walk. Then, Jesus, let me see what you would see. Then help my heart to feel what you would feel. Then help me to have the boldness to do what you would do. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful example, greatest example in the Bible of a missionary is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you left the portals of heaven. We talk about leaving a country and going to a different country. You left the portals of heaven, traveled a farther distance than any missionaries ever traveled. And Lord, you loved more than any missionaries ever loved. Thank you for the example that you've given us. Lord Jesus, I pray that we'd become hungry. I pray that you would help us to begin to see people the way that you see them. To see past the exterior, see past the present sinful state. To see a soul in need of salvation. To see not just the sin, but to understand the hurt and devastation that this sin has caused. And Lord, to see an opportunity that cannot and should not be missed. And Lord, we don't ever know when we lead someone to Christ. As I stand at the back and watch these kids come in on the buses, I think to myself, boy, if the Lord tarries, nobody here understands, nobody here knows what some of these young people may grow up to be. Lord, may we pour our lives into the next generation. May we invest our lives into theirs. May we be bold this week in the presentation of the gospel. Maybe walk out the door and maybe pause at the track rack and make sure that we're loaded up and ready to go. The songwriter wrote, lead me to one soul today. Lord, teach me. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are that seem to care. Few there are that pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us to pray this simple prayer tomorrow morning. Help us to walk where you would walk, to see Jesus what you would see, to be touched the way you would be touched, and to do then in that moment what you would do. Give us the boldness, give us the grace to do it, we pray in Jesus' name.